Welcome back. Matters arising. Certain matters have come to the knowledge of the Bride of Christ, and it calls for proper scrutinization by our overseer or by lovers of truth generally. I have brought one defender of the faith, our pastor, to help us look at these matters properly. First is a video that we came across. We don't know how old the video is, but we are just coming across it, of Pastor Chris Oyakhilome making some comments on some songs that we cherish so much. So we want this Bible teacher with us to help us look into this and help us to rightly divide the word of truth. So please, we'll play the video for you. We want you to sit back, enjoy, pay close attention to this video, this comment of Pastor Chris that is on YouTube. Let's watch the video.
I don't know how many of you know that song. Let your living water flow over my soul. Let the Holy Spirit come and take control. How many of you know that song? Many of you know it. I used to sing it. I loved it. I used to sing it. But it's one of those wrong songs. I mean, when I sang it, I was touched. Oh God, let your living water. So one day, I was praying, and then in my motion, I picked up that song again, and I went, let your living water flow over my soul. And the Lord said, how? And then I was startled and I stopped. I said, Lord, immediately, just like real time. You know, sometimes God's talking to you and you don't have to wait for him to finish before you know, you're just picking exactly what he's saying. Same time, same moment. And so quickly, I picked and said, Lord, I understand. I understand exactly what you're saying. I got it. All right, let me show it to you. When you go, let your living water flow over my soul. It is so unscriptural, so wrong, but we are so carried away by our emotion. We love the songs. Like we go, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. With what? You see, until and unless we take the word of God seriously and accept what it says as truth, and the finality of truth, we cannot move in the glory of God consistently and permanently. So you find we go in and out, up and down. So the church, instead of moving from glory to glory, will go round in circles, going round and round. Round and round with Christians who are always seeking for deliverance. You know, then they get delivered, then they come back again and they want deliverance, and then they're delivered again and they come back again. And you know, they're just terrible. But if you want a life that goes on from glory to glory, no downs, no matter what happens, permanently upward and forward. Permanently. My life is permanently upward and forward. No matter what happens, I'm ever moving forward and upward. I made up my mind for that. Okay, maybe I should analyze that song. Now think about it. Let your living water flow over my soul. Okay, St. John chapter 7. Read from verse 37. Have you seen it? Let's read. One, two, go. Mm-hmm. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Go on. He that believeth on me, as the scripture had said, out of his belly shall flow. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Out of his belly. Okay, compare that. Let your living water flow over my soul. Jesus says, out of your belly shall flow. Something is wrong with the song. So we're asking him to let his living water flow over my soul. In other words, Lord, pour it upon me. But Jesus said, it will pour out of you. You are the source of the living water. Because the Holy Spirit is inside you now. All right, read further. Read. Next verse. But this spake he of the Spirit. Thank you. So the living water he's talking about is who? The Holy Spirit. When you receive the Holy Spirit to live in you, you become the source of the living water. But they didn't tell us that. We were taught the song, let your living water flow over my soul. So we feel like the water is pouring. Oh, pour it, Lord. Pour it, Lord. But Jesus says, out of you shall pour out. Not from heaven shall pour unto you. So as long as we don't understand these simple things, we'll be living in the past while we are preaching the gospel. A gospel that we don't know. The gospel of Jesus Christ is that you are now the house of God. You are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. How important that is. Do you know the difference it would make when you stop asking him to pour his Spirit on you after you have received the Holy Ghost? You see, we take the Holy Spirit so casually. After receiving the Holy Spirit, I ask people, which Holy Spirit did you receive? Is it the same one that Peter received? Is it the same Holy Spirit that Paul received? When they received the Holy Spirit, they were filled with power. I said, why are you filled with Holy Spirit? You still have fear. How can you have Holy Spirit and you are still discouraged? How can you have Holy Spirit and still be housed in sickness? The Bible says, if the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall vitalize, make alive your mortal body by his Spirit that lives in you. It is either that scripture is true or it's false. If it's true, let's act like it. You know why many can read it and overlook it and act like they didn't see it? Because their worship is not true. Remember this. Jesus said, the time is coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. So we say, let's worship the Lord. We go, fill my cup, Lord. That's not a worship. That's not correct. We have to change our songs, our worship, to truth, the truth of the word. God is limited by our believing. If we believe halfway, he can do more beyond the half that we believe. And did you know something? Did you know God is not doing anything? He's not doing anything for us in heaven. He's not doing anything. Read your Bible. Because he is in the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the rest day. And we are not supposed to be doing anything. We are supposed to be using his word of authority to guide our lives now. Did you hear what I just said? We are ruling and reigning in union with him today. That's the life he's given us. No struggle. The Bible says those who have entered into his rest have ceased from their struggles. In fact, it says that they have ceased from their works. So what works? They have ceased from their works. Everything we do today is supposed to be a blessing. Everything, a blessing. The day you catch that revelation, your life will be changed forever. Never will you have a struggle. Never will you have a limitation. Never will you have a lack.
Wow. Our wonderful Pastor Chris Oyakhilome has said so many things, but let us rightly divide the word of truth. Asa, what do you have to say about the video?
You see, there's something about this man of God and his likes, who are preachers of faith. And when I say preachers of faith, that is preachers that preach faith, you know, in a dimension that nothing is impossible. You can get what you desire to get if you apply the right faith. But there's a problem with this kind of gospel, because we must learn. It's a one-legged gospel.
You see, balanced gospel.
Yeah, the gospel must be balanced.
Amen.
You see, you hear him saying that he's always positively moving forward. There's an impression he creates that he never ever has any problems. You know, and then I say, if you don't have problem, then scriptures are broken. Because the danger in this type of message is that when God allows trials, God allowed trials on a believer, then like he allowed it on Job for a purpose.
Amen.
And he's still allowing it, you know, then you begin to think that you are out of favor with God. You know, so it's a very dangerous approach to the gospel. We must balance it. It's the God of the mountain. Amen. It's also God of the valley.
Hallelujah.
Isaiah assured us, through Isaiah,
yes,
that when you pass through the waters,
I'll be with you.
I'll be with you. That means you will pass through the waters.
That's right.
You know, you pass through the fire, you know, he will be there with us.
Amen and amen.
And then he said, he assured us that there had no temptation taken by such as is common. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Maybe we read it.
Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And verse 13 says,
yes,
there hath no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man.
You see?
But God is faithful.
That is the assurance we have.
Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able.
You see?
But we will the temptation
this is
also,
where he comes in for us.
But we will the temptation also make a way to escape.
Yes.
That ye may be able to bear it.
Then he also went further in Hebrews chapter 2.
Yes, sir.
And I think verse 17 and verse 18.
Hebrews 2, 17 and 18 says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted.
You see? So there will be, he himself was tempted. Therefore, he'll be able to succor them that are tempted. Who are these them? They are believers.
Hallelujah.
So can a believer be tempted? Yes. Can a believer be sick? Yes. If not, why do you pray for sick people? You pray for sick believers. This sign shall follow them that believe. And we have our comfort in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9.
2 Peter 2:9. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of
judgment. He knows how to deliver the righteous
out of temptations.
That is why the Holy Ghost is a comforter.
Hallelujah.
You won't need a comforter if you have problems. Mm. So that's why I say we must balance this kind of scriptures. It's a one-legged message. And he said, God is no more working.
Yeah, he said, God is no more doing anything for us.
Yes, he's not creating anything new. He has already set the ball rolling. He has created everything. And is resting and watching the agenda going on. But remember that Christ himself is seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for us.
Amen and amen.
If he is making intercession, he is working.
Amen.
For us, standing there in the gap for us, is doing the same thing the high priest was doing in the physical temple in Israel. So for you to make it look as if that we have no work again to do, then how will you see the way Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 9:25.
1 Corinthians 9:25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible.
Then what, verse 26?
I therefore so run. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air.
And then Jesus Christ spoke in Luke 13. He says, strive to enter.
Amen.
Strive to enter. Amen. Struggle to enter. Make your calling and election sure. So these terminologies that are used here lets you know, walk out your salvation with fear and trembling. You know, so let's balance this gospel. Now, so when you go along that line of the kind of perception of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, then you go so positive until you go off the need for balance. So they preach unbalanced messages.
And unrealistic also.
Well, let me call it unbalanced. Okay. Let me call it balanced. Because you see, let's look at what he was talking about. When he says, fill my cup, Lord, he says wrong.
Yes, sir. He says those songs, he mentioned two songs. Let your living waters flow over my
cup. Let me start with fill my cup. In fact, let me even, there's one he didn't talk, but I heard him say it before. He said the song that we sing, we are marching to Zion. Beautiful, beautiful Zion. We are marching upward to Zion, the beautiful city of God. Now you see, you have to balance this. I know he quotes Hebrew 12, verse 22, 23, somewhere.
Okay.
Hebrew.
Yeah, that says we are come unto
chapter 12, verse 22.
Yeah, but ye are come unto Mount Zion. And unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem.
Now, see here, we have come unto Mount Zion. Now, he is saying that if we are already on Mount Zion, why are we saying again, we are marching to Zion? You see, now if you follow his thought, you really think he's saying something. You know, but he's not balancing it. For people who know their scripture, you will then know scripture cannot be broken.
Amen.
Now, yes, we are marching to Zion. Zion, he says, is the city of God. What is the city of God? It's the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
Now, I want you to note that even there's another song, I'm praising on the upward way, you know, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Now, he wouldn't like such songs because he is already high. So there is no higher place than Christ. Because we're seated in heavenly places. So you could interpret it and say that song is a scriptural song. No, every day you desire to be better and better and better and better. So there is the city of God, just like what is the kingdom of God, Romans 14:17.
Romans chapter 14, verse 17
says, yes.
For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink,
yes,
but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Eh? What is the kingdom of God?
Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. That is the kingdom of God. But now, if you are rightly dividing the word of truth, Matthew 25, when the judgment of Gentile, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory.
Verse 31.
Ahem.
When the Son of Man shall come in his glory.
Yes.
And all the holy angels with him.
Ahem.
Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory.
Uh-huh.
And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats.
Mm-hmm.
And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared
for you. That's where I'm going. Inherit what?
The kingdom prepared for you
from
the foundation of the world.
From
the foundation,
of the world. Now, when you look at the kingdom of God, a kingdom is a domain ruled by a king.
Amen and amen.
And the ruler here is King Jesus. This kingdom is the millennial reign.
Amen.
Now, but when you come to Christ, there is also the physical kingdom, which is the 1,000 reign of Christ on earth here together with us. But there is also the spiritual
kingdom,
which is the spiritual body of Christ.
Amen.
So that's why I say you must balance it. So when you say we are hoping to be in the kingdom, you should understand what we mean. Now we are, but we know that you have to be in the spiritual kingdom before you can be in the physical kingdom. The spiritual kingdom is the baptism of the Holy Ghost that brings you into the body of Christ,
amen,
which entitles you to now come and be in the physical kingdom.
Amen, amen.
And so also, when we talk of Mount Zion, what is Mount Zion? Mount Zion is a physical mountain in Israel upon which the city of Jerusalem was built.
That's right.
Okay? So, and it is also typically or symbolically used to be also the spiritual Jerusalem.
Amen.
Which is the body of Christ.
Amen.
Now, and so that Jerusalem too will be built on a mountain.
Amen.
Okay? And it is first spiritual.
Amen.
And the mountain of the Lord is Christ himself.
Amen.
And then it is built upon it, upon him. And then there is the physical one, because the new Jerusalem was seen coming down. And when he comes, he's coming to Israel.
Amen.
He's coming to that same Mount Zion.
Amen.
So there is the spiritual Zion and there's the physical Zion.
Amen and amen.
So when we sing, we are marching to Zion, what we're saying is we are preparing to be in the rapture.
Amen.
You have to just, you know, because that is where it's taking us to. Spiritually, we're already there, but we have to be there also physically.
Amen.
So it is not an unscriptural song. Now, fill my cup. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16.
The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?
Now, what did he call it?
The cup of blessing which we bless.
What is it?
Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?
Now, so when you say the cup of blessing, that is, in that cup are blessings. They are point of contact to a blessing of the communion of Christ.
Amen.
There is a blessing that flow from the cross on Calvary.
Hallelujah.
Depicted, and it comes to us. This cup that we hold is a point of contact to the believer. Now, remember, Psalm 103, verse 1, 2, 3, 4.
Psalm 103, verse 1 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
You see, now, there are benefits. This benefit comes through the blood, through the cross. Read it. What are the benefits?
Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases?
See?
Who redeemeth?
Wait.
Who forgiveth all thy iniquities?
The debt for our sin we are paid through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Who healeth all thy diseases?
By his stripes we are healed.
Who redeemeth our life from destruction?
Because he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, when you come under that blood, you are saved from the destruction that is coming. Yes?
Who cannot deal with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies thy mouth with good things?
With good things.
So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles.
Okay. Amen. Now, so now look at it. Mm. If I carry this cup,
amen,
it's a point of contact to me.
Amen.
That is why he put that ordinance of the communion. Mm. So if I say, Lord, fill my cup, Lord, I'm actually saying, fill my life.
Amen.
You see, that's why I say we must balance these things. Mm. Fill my life, Lord, and lift it up. Come and quench the thirsty of my soul. That means you are thirsty to have more of those blessings.
Hallelujah.
Bread of heaven. Jesus said, I am the bread that come. If you eat me, you will not, And that is the bread that I was offered on the cross on Calvary. Mm. You're holding it. Fill me till I want to know more. So it is a very, very scriptural song, Oyakhilome. It's a very, very scriptural song, brother Oyakhilome.
Okay.
And now the other song.
Let your living waters
flow. Let your living water flow
over my soul.
Over my soul. What is water used for? Water is used for cleansing.
Okay.
All right.
Amen.
Water is used
amen.
For cleansing.
That's true, sir.
So when you say, let the living water flow over my soul, flow over my soul, I want you, if you know your Bible, the first thing you think is, what is water for?
Mm.
Now, first and foremost, in John chapter 3,
amen. Yes, sir.
Verse 5,
Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God.
So water there, is you can see the two things here. Yes, John chapter 7, where he made reference to, mentioned the living water.
Yes, sir.
Meaning the Holy Ghost.
Yes, sir.
But now you notice in verse 5 here, he also mentioned water in addition to the Spirit.
Amen.
That's why I say, balance your scripture. Balance it. He mentioned water and he mentioned the Spirit there also. Why did he say water and Spirit? Because in the conversion of man, there are these two elements, the water and the Spirit, play a major role. The first one, we see this in Ezekiel chapter 36.
Yes, sir.
From verse 24. See the process of conversion.
For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries.
You see?
And will bring you into your own land.
Uh-huh.
Then will I sprinkle clean water upon
you. See where the water comes in?
Mm.
You sprinkle what?
Clean water upon you.
And
ye shall be clean.
Uh-huh.
From all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you.
So if a sinner comes and says, let the living water flow over my soul, he can also be saying, clean me up.
Mm.
Okay? Then read on.
Verse 26.
Yes.
A new heart also will I give you,
uh-huh.
and a new spirit will I put within you.
Uh-huh.
And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh,
uh-huh.
and I will give you an heart of flesh.
Uh-huh.
And I will put my spirit
can you see?
Within you.
That is when the spirit referred to in John chapter 5:7 now comes in. He will then put his spirit within you to do something.
And cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments. And
so now, somebody, consider this now. Matthew 5, verse 6. What does it say?
Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled.
Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are they which hunger, and it is only that hunger and thirst that will make you pray that type of prayer. Let the Holy Spirit, let the living water flow over my soul. This living water that flows over your soul includes also, the word of God is also referred to as water. Mm. That's why Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, there's a statement he made there.
I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase.
So there is the watering side of the ministry.
Amen and amen.
When the word is planted, you pour water. And this water is continuous. You don't just pour it only once. Mm. You keep pouring, you know, that is, it serves a purpose because it gives life.
Amen.
So the word of God is also water.
Amen.
You see? And it is, that is why we are clean. John 17:17. Mm. John 17:17.
Yeah. Sanctify them through thy truth. Uh-huh. Thy word is truth.
Because it is the word of God that sanctifies, that cleanses us. So in Ephesians chapter 5, if you read it from verse 25-26. Mm.
Ephesians 5:25-26 says, husbands, love your wives, mm-hmm. even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, uh-huh. that he must sanctify and cleanse it.
With what?
With the washing of water by the word.
And this is continuous. Amen. That what?
That he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
You see, so the writer of that song had this understanding of what water signifies in the spirit. It signifies both the word and also the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You see, so, and then you were saying that to the way Brother Yakilome is presenting it makes it look as if once you have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the water is already flowing. The water is already flowing out of you. Yes, the water will flow out of you. Water there, you know.
In his own words, he says, you are the source of the living waters. Unquote.
Now, because when you now receive, you are not to be given. But he has forgotten that if the Holy Ghost, you know, because according to that scripture, out of you shall flow rivers
of living water.
Of living water. Now, he has forgotten that what that the context of that scripture is talking about the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
You see, Jesus was talking about the fruit of the Spirit.
Hallelujah.
And that is in Galatians chapter 5.
Mm, you've done justice to this.
Verse 22. That is what Christ was meaning here.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law.
Yeah, because concerning the Holy Ghost, you can't have enough of him.
Amen.
Because the Holy Ghost is a measure of God in you. Only Christ received not the Spirit by measure. Because the fullness, the Bible says, dwells in him.
Amen and amen.
And we have, you know, in the scripture, let me give you one scripture, at least one scripture, that should be Acts chapter 4. They were disturbing the apostles who had received the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. Because they went about preaching, they didn't want them to preach in that name anymore. Then they gathered from verse 27.
For of a truth, against thy only child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done.
Go on.
And now, Lord, behold their threatenings.
Now, see. Uh-huh.
And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word.
Uh-huh.
By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child.
And what happened?
Jesus. And when they had prayed.
And when they had prayed.
The place was shaken.
The place was shaken where they were assembled together.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
But they will receive the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2.
Another infilling.
And now they are coming again to be filled. So I'm sure they were gathering their let the living water, they were singing, flow over my soul. Let the Holy Spirit come and take control of every situation that has troubled my soul, like the Sanhedrin Council, Pharisees, and Sadducees. We are troubling them. Amen. It's a scriptural prayer. And you can ask for it. In Luke chapter 11.
Luke 11. Yes, sir.
If you read it, remember that he was teaching us how to pray. And then he now link it from verse 9. Let's read it from verse 9 to verse 13.
Maybe. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you.
Yes.
Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you.
Now you see, he's telling you, and he's talking to the believers. That's what I want you to know. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to people who are already Christians. He's telling you how to receive from God. Go on.
For everyone that accepts, receiveth.
Yes.
And he that seeketh, findeth.
Uh-huh.
And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened.
Now let's look at it again. Go to that verse 10 again.
For everyone that accepts,
receiveth. Now, if you ask anything you ask for God, and it can include, like Apostle Paul, that I may know you. It's a prayer.
Amen.
Okay. Now, you ask again, what's the next one?
And he that seeketh, findeth.
Why will you seek what? Seek his presence. Seek his presence. You will find, not asking for a car. This scripture is not only asking for a car. This is spiritual. It's about wanting to know more of God, to receive more of his glory. Go on.
And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father,
you see,
will he give him a stone?
So that you will know that he's talking about spiritual things.
Amen.
So he's just likening what he expects you to seek, what he expects you to knock, what he expects you to ask for.
Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?
Then verse 13.
If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gift unto your children.
Yes.
How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?
So you can sing, let the Holy Spirit,
let the living water,
let the living water flow over my soul.
Amen.
Ask.
Amen.
Let the Holy Spirit come and take control. He's referring to Ezekiel 36.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
Verse 27.
And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes.
Can you see the control?
And you shall keep my judgments.
Let the Holy Spirit come and take control.
Amen.
Of every situation that has troubled my mind. So, all my cares and bodies unto you.
I wrote. Amen.
So let's learn to preach balanced gospel.
The songs are, he said we should not be carried away by our emotions.
No.
We should sing scriptural songs.
No. When you catch this revelation, you'll be emotional.
But what about this statement of his, that God is in his Sabbath? I thought
the Sabbath there is in the sense that there's nothing new he's making.
Okay.
Because he has already set everything in motion. He's just resting until Christ has finished his work, as we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 15.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Verse 25.
For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet.
You see now, that is Christ. But the Father is resting.
Amen.
He's not judging anybody. He has committed all judgment to the Son. So it's just like Christ himself gave us talents in Luke chapter 19. What did he say?
Occupy
till I come. So Christ said something, because you have to balance this thing. He said, my Father walketh
hitherto. Until now, and I walk.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You. I don't know if you remember that scripture.
John chapter 5.
Thank you. You know, your Bible encyclopedia. What brought about the answer?
John 5:17.
Yes.
But Jesus answered them,
What brought?
And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. He healed a man.
Because he healed a man on a Sabbath day.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
But Jesus answered them, my Father walketh hitherto, and I walk.
My Father walketh hitherto, so me too I will walk.
Hallelujah.
Jesus is walking there, so we too, we must walk.
Amen.
Why? Because verse 22.
For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son.
You see? The Father is not going to, he's not walking.
Amen.
He finished all his work. So if you go to verse 25 of 1 Corinthians chapter 15,
For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet.
You see?
The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death.
Uh-huh.
For he has put all things under his feet. But when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted.
Because God is accepted,
which is put
it's not under him, yes.
And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that hath put all things under him,
uh-huh.
that God may be all in all.
You see?
Amen.
So he's resting until the Son finish all the wahala of restoration, then brings anything to him. The scripture just come into my mind when we talk, what I say is the fruit of the Spirit, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. I think we see that in Psalm 1.
Mm. Hallelujah.
Verse 1, 2, 3.
Yes, sir. Psalm 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly,
uh-huh.
nor standeth in the way of sinners,
uh-huh.
nor sitteth in the seat of discomfort.
Uh-huh.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and in his law doth he meditate day and night.
What will happen therefore?
And it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water.
Planted by the rivers of water. These rivers of water here is the word of God.
Mm.
It's the word of God. When you are soaked in it, what happens?
That bringeth forth his fruit in his season.
He will bring out the fruit in his season. Hallelujah. The life that you live, the word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin against you. And what will happen?
And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. His leaf also shall not wither.
That is fellowship.
Mm. Hallelujah.
Fellowship with the Spirit will not go down.
Amen.
Therefore.
And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Prosper.
Hallelujah.
God bless you.
Wow. Thank you so much. As a debater will say, with this few points of ours, because I'm in full support to the pastor on this one. We hope we'll be able to convince the Bride of Christ that those songs are scriptural. We'll take a short break. These are matters from outside the enter message. When we come back, we'll look at matters arising within the enter message. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.